time ago. I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die."
I am sorry. I did what I did because I felt like I had to do it. But I'm really sorry for what resulted. Not the song I just chose to play to start the show today. The classic from Don McLean, remembering the crash that claimed the lives of the Big Bopper and others. But the song chosen today because it is March the 14th, also known as 314, also known as Pi Day. Y'all remember Pi Day, right? You remember from your days in elementary school that the circumference of a circle is the distance around it, and the diameter is the measurement of that circle from edge to edge. And it has been determined, after measuring circular objects for thousands upon thousands of years, that a circle is a little bit more than three times its width around. 3.14159, etc., is the number that we have landed on. It's called a constant number, pi is, because it will always be the same for any circle of any size. The distance around is a little more than three times the width of the circle, and thus we celebrate Pi Day. Good Friday morning to you on this March the 14th, 314, 3.14, Pi Day. I am sorry because yesterday I took my buddy to the airport. This guy, he barely spends a minute in town before he's off on his next adventure. I picked him up from the airport in Toronto on... the heck day did I have to go? Sunday? I'm all mixed up. Anyway, I picked him up. And then it was Saturday. I picked him up on Saturday. And yesterday, I dropped him off so he could take off again. But this time, I only had to take him to the airport in Breslau. I had to go to Toronto on the weekend. And I expected to find some QP workers picketing at the airport. I did not. But what I did find is, as I went down Fountain Street, I could not make a left into the airport terminal. There were signs up and barriers preventing me from making that left-hand turn, which is fine. I figure I'll just go down to the next parking lot and make my turn there. But on my way there, I found a little laneway leading up to a house. I thought, well, I'll just make my turnaround right here. I'll pull into the lane. So I did. And then I had to back out again onto Fountain, which is pretty fast moving. I waited for the vehicles to clear. And then as I was backing out, another vehicle came from the other direction, from Cambridge Way down Fountain. And I'm like, I'm already backing out. So I got onto the road and I hammered it so I wouldn't hold this poor fella up too long. I don't think he took very kindly to it. Even though I accelerated as fast as I could, even spun the wheel a little bit coming out of that dirt lane, the funny thing was, it wasn't until I made my right-hand turn then to go into the airport that he just leaned on the horn. Oh, my God. A long blare of the horn. Dude, I went as fast as I could. I'm sorry you had to slow down from the breakneck speed you were traveling on Fountain yesterday because I got in the way. I disrupted your flow. It was a white minivan. It's always the minivans, isn't it? Anyway, I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. As mentioned, I didn't have to work my way through any picketers at the airport yesterday, but wouldn't you know that the striking union workers are today at gate one of the landfill on Herb Street West in Waterloo. That also happens to be at the same roundabout that you use to enter Costco. I mean, it's Friday morning. I anticipate Costco will be rather busy. If you want to make an impact, do it in a highly visible place. And I think that's what our striking worker friends are doing. Let's get to your Farwell Show 5 for this Friday morning. Number one, less than a week after winning the Liberal leadership, Mark Carney is going to become Canada's 24th Prime Minister. Carney will be sworn in later this morning during a ceremony at Rideau Hall after Justin Trudeau's official resignation. We'll hear from Trudeau in just a couple of minutes. Carney, though, becomes the first Prime Minister in Canada's history to hold the top political job without ever having been elected to office. Number two, Ontario Premier Doug Ford says a meeting with U.S. Commerce Secretary has lowered the temperature in the trade war launched by U.S. President Donald Trump. Ford says, and I quote, "It was the best meeting I've ever had coming down here." The premier is in Washington with the federal ministers of finance and industry to talk to Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. There was no change to Trump's tariffs, but the outcome of yesterday's meeting appeared largely to be an agreement to have officials from both countries speak again next week. Number three on your Farwell Show 5 this morning, an Ontario Superior Court injunction granted to the City of Waterloo in an effort to control the annual St. Paddy's Day bash in the University District is now in effect. The order came into effect early this morning, just after midnight, and it grants police the power to arrest and detain people who violate the order, as opposed to a simple ticket and fine. The court decision states, and again I quote, "Immaturity and youthful exuberance do not excuse Waterloo's St. Patrick's Day party." Number four on your Farwell Show 5 today, John Tibbetts is staying on to lead Conestoga College for another 2 years. The school's Board of Governors said in a release yesterday that Tibbetts' contract has been extended until the end of 2026. The board says the extension will provide the strategic direction needed to meet the critical workforce demands the province faces in key sectors like trades and healthcare, and will prioritize resources to ensure Conestoga will be able to help community members and local business respond to the additional economic pressures we now anticipate. A succession plan is also being worked on to ensure a seamless transition into 2027. And number five, Waterloo Region's first zero-carbon building has opened its doors. The $13.9 million Southwest Kitchener Library branch officially opened yesterday. The new library features a recording studio, a video game area, roller skates and helmets for loan, and 19,000 books. The Southwest branch on Rosenberg Way is the first library branch to open in Kitchener since the Country Hills branch, which is the one at St. Mary's High School, more than 20 years ago. And that is your Farwell Show 5 for this Friday morning. In case you missed it yesterday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had some words of farewell for you.
"I am so proud of Canadians. I'm proud to have served a country full of people who stand up for what's right, rise to every occasion, and always have each other's backs when it matters most. This may be my last day here in this office, but I will always be boldly and unapologetically Canadian. My only ask is that no matter what the world throws at us, you always be the same."
Will you always be the same, boldly and unapologetically Canadian? That was the outgoing Prime Minister's message to you. What message would you send in return to the outgoing Prime Minister? What would you like to say as Justin Trudeau leaves office. Let us know. Share with the class on the Mike Farwell Show this morning. This is 570 News Radio and Rogers TV.
They want you to believe the unbelievable.
Say we should accept
the unacceptable.
Forget your common sense.
It isn't sensible. Good times for fools and dreamers.
Watch them all deny
the undeniable.
See how they refute
the irrefutable.
Ready to defend
the indefensible.
By request for you on, of course, an all-request Friday here on the program. Paul wanted to hear High Crimes and Misdemeanors. I mean, Paul couldn't possibly be using art to imitate life, could he? The lyrics in that one sound, so familiar in this day and age. If you want to make a request at any time during our all-request Friday, just drop me an email, mike@570news.com, or when you call in to talk about something on the show, or you just want to make that request, let Jen and or DJ Dev on the other side of the glass know what song you'd like to hear. We'll play as many as we can before we call it a day, but that's not till 1 o'clock this afternoon, so let's go. You heard from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau yesterday, his farewell message to Canadians. If you were to send one back in his direction, what would you say to the outgoing Prime Minister? Let's go to the phones this morning. Maureen is with us. Good morning, Maureen.
Hi.
Hi.
Although his service has gone down, I would say the last 2 years, I would thank Justin Trudeau for ordering Canada Post back to work and for enforcing the, what was it called, the emergency thing for the convoy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could have done those both a little sooner, in my opinion. But he did a good job dealing with Donald Trump for 4 years, whether it was Chrystia Freeland that put him in his place or whoever. It was under Trudeau's government that we're lucky we didn't have a war the 4 years that he was in. And most of all, I would like to thank him for how he took care of his people during COVID. We have to be the number one country, I think, for the loss of deaths. He got PPE in here. He got vaccines. It cost a fortune, but he did take care of his people. So I really don't have a lot of problems with him. I think the last couple of years he became, apparently he wasn't listening to anybody. But other than that, I think he did a pretty good job.
All right, Maureen, I appreciate the call. I wish there had been a greater sense of collaboration within the government instead of so much centralized power within the Prime Minister's office, which Justin Trudeau certainly was notable for, centralizing that power. I wish that he knew a little bit more about finances and or balancing a budget. That would have been welcomed by me. He certainly leaves, I would say, on a high note. These last couple of months, as he had announced his resignation, I think he did a very good job up against the tariff threat, et cetera. But for my liking, you don't want to kick a guy when he's down on his way out the door, but when you enter public life, you are measured in this way, and it leaves a little to be desired. It seems to me, in retrospect, the criticisms of Justin Trudeau coming in, that he was so inexperienced, kind of played out that way. But that's just my take on it. Tony, good morning.
My message to him would be good riddance.
Short and sweet, eh?
Short and sweet, Mike. You know, these politicians, I've always been, you know what, when you leave office, try to leave it a little bit better than when you came in. All I know is everything's gotten more expensive. The carbon tax, the mandates, you name it. I voted for him, and I'll be honest with you, I voted for him the first time he ran. But after what he did, that was it for me. I am no longer a Liberal supporter, nor will I ever be. So good riddance to him.
All right, Tony, appreciate the call. I will also add, I do believe, I mean, and maybe this is just me being a hopeless and helpless optimist, but I think he meant well. I really do. I'm not sure the performance matched the intention. Paul, good morning.
Meant well?
I think
he
did.
The only thing he meant to do was to look after himself and nobody else.
I don't think he did that. I don't think so.
From day one, is sunny days. It was sunny days for him, not for anybody else. Good riddance to him. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, unless it's a jail cell door slamming behind you, because you should be in jail for all the corruption and all the illegal activities of the Liberal Party over the last 9 years. They should all rot in hell. And now we've got Carney and the exact same people going to try and do it to us again.
All right, Paul. Well, we will have an election in short enough order, so perhaps that will help you alleviate yourself of what you see as a potential fourth term of problems. And I am curious how history will remember this particular prime minister and this particular regime, because Paul's not wrong when it comes to the corruption and or number of scandals that this government dealt with. How will history remember this? Do you have an outgoing message for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as he officially resigns today? This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Doesn't take you long to spot this one, does it? And while I appreciate a classic Zeppelin tune as much as the next person, it's difficult for an All Request Friday on a talk show. I mean, we're talking about a 9-minute song here, and the buildup is long and slow. But Marianne wanted to hear some Stairway to Heaven. And she wanted to hear Stairway to Heaven because Nate called earlier this week and said, you know, All Request Friday is going into the St. Paddy's Day weekend. Why don't we all just request Irish songs? So Marianne reminds us that the first time this song was played live was at Ulster Hall in Belfast, Northern Ireland. So a little classic rock mixed in with a little Irish or Ireland history. And Stairway to Heaven goes out to Marianne on your All Request Friday today. Quickly, before our 9:30 update, Franny, you are a wonderful, wonderful human being. Franny's sent in not one pie, not two pies, but three pies for 3.14159 Day, Pie Day, here to the radio station. I might have to sample each and every one of those pies sent in by Franny's. I've been into one already. Delicious. And we are very grateful and well-fed here at the radio station because of it. Thank you, Franny. An update from the 570 News Center. And then let's talk about that message we are sending to the United States. We're going to show the U.S., right? Because we're not going to travel there. And snowbirds are going to give up their warm weather destinations and come home. But are we just hurting tourism? Let's talk about that next on the Mike Farwell Show. 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. You might remember earlier this week, I suggested that maybe, just maybe, we send U.S. President Donald Trump a DVD copy, because I'm not sending any Blu-ray. There might be a tariff on it. I don't know. But let's get the man a copy of Ferris Bueller's Day Off so that he can learn a thing or two about the impact that tariffs have on your trading partners. Why did my computer go away? We're back on with my computer. Okay.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the the Great Depression, passed the a tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression.
Oh, so it did not work raising tariffs, and the United States sank deeper into a depression. Now, of course, everybody remembers the favorite history teacher from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, taking the attendance, Bueller. But here's the thing. That was a little bit of history that we were able to learn through Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And wouldn't you know, if you go back to the man that helped negotiate free trade with Canada, we know it was Brian Mulroney on this side of the border. It was Ronald Reagan, a Republican president, which, of course, Donald Trump is alleged to be as well, Republican. It's a different brand of Republican in 2025, that's for sure. But in his 1987 radio address, this is directly from the presidential archives in the United States, Ronald Reagan laid bare the impact of tariffs.
You see, at first, when someone says, let's impose tariffs on foreign imports, it looks like they're doing the patriotic thing by protecting American products and jobs. And sometimes for a short while it works, but only for a short time. What eventually occurs is, first, homegrown industries start relying on government protection in the form of high tariffs. They stop competing and stop making the innovative management and technological changes they need to succeed in world markets. And then, while all this is going on, something even worse occurs. High tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars. The result is more and more tariffs, higher and higher trade barriers, and less competition. So soon, because of the prices made artificially high by tariffs that subsidize inefficiency and poor management, people stop buying. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse, businesses and industries shut down, and millions of people lose their jobs. The memory of all this occurring back in the 30s made me determined when I came to Washington to spare the American people the protectionist legislation that destroys prosperity. Now, it hasn't always been easy. There are those in the Congress, just as there were back in the 30s, who want to go for the quick political advantage, who risk America's prosperity for the sake of a short-term appeal to some special interest group, who forget that more than 5 million American jobs are directly tied to the foreign export business and additional millions are tied to imports. For those of us who lived through the Great Depression, the memory of the suffering it caused is deep and searing. And today, many economic analysts and historians argue that high tariff legislation passed back in that period, called the Smoot-Hawley Tariff, greatly deepened the depression and prevented economic recovery.
Can we get Donald Trump an audience with the ghost of Ronald Reagan? Perhaps he could be visited in his sleep by the three ghosts of tariffs past. I don't know, but you heard Reagan lay it bare there in that radio address from back in 1987. And it seems as though U.S. President Donald Trump has not learned from history. The retaliation that Reagan spoke of, obviously we're seeing with many billions of dollars in retaliatory tariffs being imposed by Canada on the United States. But Canadians themselves are retaliating in ways, whatever ways that they can. We've, some of us anyway, have changed our shopping habits, right? We boo the U.S. national anthem. I'm not necessarily a fan of that, but it's something else that's happening. And many of us also have changed travel plans. I'm not going to the United States for this, that, or the other thing. Here's the question. Are we, if we do that, change those travel plans, sending a strong message to the United States government, or are we just hurting the tourism industry? We'll talk about that as we continue the Mike Farwell Show this morning. This is 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. I've heard of several people who have decided to change their travel plans. They had trips booked to the United States, and they changed those plans and decided to travel domestically instead. Another friend who's long been a resident of the state of Florida in the wintertime as a snowbird has sold his property there and left with a stern letter as he came back home to Canada and said, I can't stay here anymore, given the current administration. Frederick Demange is a professor and director in the Ted Rogers School of Hospitality and Tourism Management at Toronto Metropolitan University, joins the show this morning. Frederick, good morning.
Good morning.
How much is travel and or tourism worth between Canada and the United States? How many dollars are we talking about here?
It's worth a lot. You know, of course, we talk about the trade of material goods, but services and travel in general is a big deal. We have to remember that Canada is the closest neighbor, obviously, and the top source of international visitors to the United States. So I think the estimates is about 20 million visits from Canadians per year. At least that's what we had in 2024, according to Canadian statistics information. And that leads to about $20.5 billion in spending in the United States. So it's very significant for the U.S. economy, and most importantly, for some of the states like Florida that you just mentioned, New York, Washington, California, Nevada, some of the states where the Canadians tend to spend most of the money.
We know that tariffs, or I think most of us do anyway, the tariffs don't necessarily make travel more expensive, but there's the sentiment with all of this talk about, you know, Canada becoming the 51st state and how the tariffs will hurt residents of our country. I feel as though, Frederick, like we're trying to send some kind of message here to the U.S. administration by changing our travel plans. But are we, in effect, hurting tourism instead?
Well, you know, it's kind of both. I mean, you know, definitely there is a negative attitude of the Canadians towards the Americans, and that leads to, as you mentioned, you know, some people canceling trip or deciding not to make reservations for the upcoming weeks. So that's a fact. There are a number of organizations, from airlines to travel agencies, that have reported reservations being down 30% to 40%. So it's happening, and people are voting with their feet. So does it hurt the federal government? I would say no. Trump has shown that he doesn't care for his people, and that's the issue. I don't think he's responding very much, to his citizens suffering. But will it hurt the local tourism industry? Yes, especially in those states that I mentioned. Florida, for example, will lose a lot. And when I say Florida, it's mostly the entrepreneurs. Remember that tourism is made of a lot of small companies. Of course, there's some big, you think about the airlines, some of the big hotel companies, but there are a lot of small operators, you know, who operate restaurants, who operate bars, who operate small attractions that will suffer from that as well. So they are not happy with the American government right now.
Is it only leisure travel, Frederick, or are we seeing others rethink their cross-border trips?
No, we do see that also in business travel. So convention, trade shows, are starting to react. Remember that, for trade shows, you have to take goods across the border, to show them at trade fairs. And there will be obviously tariffs being imposed on those goods. The whole convention sector, which is very important for the United States and for Canada as well, for big cities especially, is likely to suffer as well. So, and remember also that for Canada, the trip to the United States is likely to be more expensive. Not only is the exchange rate not very favorable for us, the Canadian dollar is low as compared to the American dollar, but the tariffs in general will have an impact on the cost of food, on the cost of all kinds of other services in hotels and transportation, because parts will be more expensive. So over time, I think the cost of traveling will become more expensive as well.
Do we know, Frederick, if this sort of, with so many billions of dollars on the line, aluminum, steel, lumber, we talk about all of these other products that tariffs are being applied to. How likely is it that boycotting, for lack of a better word, travel or trips to the United States is going to have an impact on this administration and this tariff war?
Frankly, I think it has an impact on us Canadians. It makes us feel good to boycott. We think it's for social justice or, respect and all this kind of thing. Will it have an impact really on American policies? Unfortunately, I don't think so. Remember how everybody stopped traveling to Russia 3 years ago when they invaded Ukraine. What did that change? Unfortunately, that didn't have very much impact. So we know that in cases where there have been travel boycotts, and I'm talking about travel specifically, unfortunately, the effect has never been, very, very, very effective with the various governments that we're trying to target.
Might this end up being a boon to other destinations for Canadians to travel?
So, yes, and you mentioned in your introduction that there is a report of travel towards domestic tourism. In other words, Canadians choosing to travel in Canada. I think, you know, if this trade war continues in the next few months, we're going to see a number of people choosing to travel this summer in Canada. We've seen that already for the March break. And then some other destinations might benefit from it. You know, some destinations in the Caribbean, maybe Mexico, you know, might benefit for people who want to enjoy the sun and who don't want to go to Florida, for example, this spring. So, yes, I think, you know, there will be a change. You know, people will be choosing alternative destination and avoid the United States. And this is not Canadian. We start to see information from Europe as well, indicating that the Europeans are also switching. And this could be a benefit for Canada as well. If somebody wants to experience North America, they'll choose Canada as opposed to the U.S.
Interesting times that we are living in. Frederick, I really appreciate your time on the show this morning. Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Frederick Demange is a professor and director in the Ted Rogers School of Hospitality and Tourism Management at Toronto Metropolitan University. Could end up being a bit of a boon for us here in Canada. I hadn't really even thought of that aspect of it. If others around the world are considering North American travel, boy, oh boy, don't we look a whole lot better. But I wonder from where you're sitting today, and I get it, as Frederick so rightly pointed out, it makes us feel good, right? I'm going to stick it to Donald Trump and the United States, and I'm not going to take that trip to Buffalo or to New York or to Vegas or to Florida, whatever it may be. It's going to make you feel good in the moment, just like I think booing the anthem makes you feel good in the moment. Changing your shopping habits. And, you know, if you can get through what appears to me anyway to be a bit of a labyrinth of what is made in Canada, produced in Canada, what is a Canadian product when it comes to our shopping, once you get through that, maybe you've got some new shopping habits that last you a lifetime, which I think would be pretty cool. But I'm wondering from where you're sitting, what it is, if anything, you're doing. Have you canceled a trip? Have you changed your shopping habits? Have you booed the U.S. anthem? The friend that I referred to, who has for a long time been a snowbird in Florida, sent the following message as he abandoned his snowbird home. For 15 years, he wrote, I spent some winter months enjoying Florida weather, golf links, restaurants, and American friends. As a Canadian, I feel myself among friends in a country that was Canada's best friend. As the Righteous Brothers put it long ago, you've lost that loving feeling. Polls now show that only one quarter of Canadians think that the United States is Canada's friend. Where, my friends, is that loving feeling? You've lost more than you know. A very proud Canadian who is reflecting a nation's current mood. That was his farewell message to his former friends in Florida. What have you done, if anything, in response to the trade war that we're now engaged in? Changing shopping habits, changing travel plans, booing anthems. Love to hear from you on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV.
Frankly, I think it has an impact on us Canadians. It makes us feel good to boycott. You know, we think it's for social justice or, you know, respect and all this kind of thing. Will it have an impact really on American policies? Unfortunately, I don't think so. You know, remember how everybody stopped traveling to Russia 3 years ago when they invaded Ukraine.
And what happened? Nothing. I get it, though. I get that feeling of I'm going to stick it to the man. And I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing because it makes me feel good. I said that from the very beginning when it comes to booing the U.S. anthem as an example. The effect overall? Meh. In fact, I think it makes us look rude more than anything, but that's an aside. We were focusing more specifically on travel with Frederick Demange, who's a professor and director in the Ted Rogers School of Hospitality and Tourism Management at Toronto Metropolitan University. And he pointed out that it's a multi-billion dollar a year business, tourism between Canada and the U.S., and maybe we're hurting that industry and the people working within it more than we're hurting the U.S. administration. Jody, how have you changed your habits since the tariff war began?
I'm not letting it get to me too much because I have enough problems on my plate as it is. I've been buying all the cheapest stuff, like secondhand, going to secondhand stores, going to the food bank, buying flour, baking powder and salt and vegetable oil so I can make scone. What else? Just going to all the low-cost places because I'm a low-income person as it is. So I'm struggling as it is. So I got to learn. I got to start getting thrifty.
Yeah, listen, and I think many of us are getting thriftier as we move into this new era of Canada-U.S. relations. I'll just tie this back to a comment we got on the show yesterday because it's very likely that the Kitchener Rangers are going to play the Flint Firebirds in the first round of the OHL playoffs. And somebody said, instead of booing the anthem, let's just turn our backs to it while it's playing. Can we just not do any of that? That would be my sincere appeal to you. Let's just not get engaged in that. Let the players play. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Bit of Irish pop from the Cranberries as we head into the St. Paddy's Day weekend here in the region. That is Salvation by the Cranberries by request on your All Request Friday here on the show. Nathan wanted to hear that one. Something else we do every Friday on the show at this time is a segment called Council Chambers, which allows us to do a deeper dive into the goings-on in one of the communities in and around our region. Today we focus on Wellesley Township and its Mayor Joe Nowak joins the show. Mayor Nowak, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. And how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. It's looking beautiful outside. I'm ready for spring. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I 100%. I took the puppy out this morning for a walk and it was nice not to have to bundle up with gloves and scarf and all that sort of stuff. And she was very happy. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to spring. I've had enough of this nonsense.
You and me both. The only problem with that, though, Mayor Nowak, is now you come home with the muddy puppy feet.
Yeah, we sure do. And she's a golden retriever and a little bit bigger than what we thought. And what she enjoys most is to get into the snow and roll around and do it and build tunnels of it. So, yeah, she gets kind of messy when she's out in the boat.
Absolutely. I know the feeling with our pup as well. Okay, let's get down to business. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is something that's come up in neighboring Woolwich Township, and that is suggestion that perhaps we need a speed zone program for our rural areas, our townships, that's different from the urban speed zone program. Would you support something different in our rural communities, Mayor Nowak?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. I did follow the discussion you had with Mayor Shantz. I think it was last week, and agree wholeheartedly with her that things are different out in the rural areas, and it's something that we should have a discussion with the region about. I think what we have to be mindful of is that many of the regulations that are put into place by the region come from the Ministry of Transportation, and those regulations are sort of written in stone. So I'm not sure what route we would have to take in the long run, whether we'd have to change their way of thinking or just the region, but certainly worthwhile to have that discussion.
I know from previous discussions that you and I have had, speeding in general remains a going concern in the township, so I'm not sure how we go about balancing this appropriately.
Well, the speed cameras work, there's no question. I think recent statistics have indicated that where those have been placed, the speed limits or the speed has dropped by about 65%. So, you know, people have become aware of them, and I think that the fines, I think in 2022, for example, we had one at the Wellesley School here. There were 169 tickets issued. So, you know, people just have to slow down. There's no question about it.
So you're not against speed cameras in general, but again, we just need something that fits rural townships better.
Yeah, you know, so we have a number of the regional roads where we have the parochial schools. I'm thinking of the one up in by Hawksville right now. That's an interesting situation there where it's not a parochial school, it's a private school, I think. But none of the children walk to school. They're all driven to school. So the need for, you know, a camera in that location is questionable. I think of the one on Queensbush Road in right downtown Wellesley. We just redid that road, and we're going to put a second coat of asphalt on it this summer. And we're going to put a couple speed bumps on. So I'm wondering whether, you know, the camera that is installed there now, whether it'll be useful at all once those speed bumps are involved. So, you know, we have to have the communication with regional staff when it comes to these issues. And, you know, that's something that's sort of ongoing.
One of the other things we've talked about in the past, Mayor Nowak, is kite fighting, which I don't know about you, but was something was brand new to me and I've only started to learn about. And I know that this has been a going concern in the township. Where are we at when it comes to the township's response to this problem?
Yeah, it's an interesting, I don't know which is a sport, if you want to call it a sport, but it originated, actually, I did some research on it. It originated in, I think, Pakistan many, many years ago. We've had some concerns from some of the farming community where, so if you understand the process, there's two kites up in the air, and the string that holds those kites solid has a sort of a glass finish on it. It's very, very sharp. And the idea is to have, you know, the opponent cut the others in half because of the sharp string. So what happens then is all the string falls to the ground and it gets caught up into the hay fields and the animals, you know, the farm animals. Interesting enough, I had a discussion yesterday with a fellow from Cambridge, and they had an issue at Riverside Park. Where they've banned it in Riverside Park now, or they've banned it in Cambridge, I think, kite flying. But in Riverside Park, I guess the mess was just terrible. I mean, when they went to pick up all the strings, they found birds wrapped in it. They found young animals wrapped in it. So it's a dangerous. There's probably a place for it, but it's not in, you know, not in some of these areas. The place we had the problem was in Linwood. The problem, one of the problems is it's, those individuals are allowed to go onto public property. We can't stop them from going on public property. The only way we can regulate it is by bylaw. So we've asked, we've gone out to the community. We said, what do you want to do here? We want to make sure they understand there's a big difference between kite flying and kite fighting. And that was one of the reasons. So we're waiting on that. Staff will be putting together a bylaw, I think, in sometime this spring.
Are we expecting something back late April on that? I thought I read on one of your agendas, but I could be mistaken.
Possible. Yeah, I would think so. It would be in that time frame somewhere.
Okay. We're in conversation with Wellesley Township Mayor Joe Nowak. He joins us for council chambers this morning. There's a condo development, which I think, I don't know, it sounds odd to me to consider Wellesley and condos. But hey, we're growing and the townships are growing too. Plus, the Apple Butter and Cheese Festival is going to be even more noticeable in the months and years ahead. We'll continue the conversation with Wellesley Township Mayor Joe Nowak on Council Chambers this morning here on the Mike Farwell Show. This is 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. We are a diverse community of three urban centers, four townships, and 59 municipal councillors across those townships and urban centers, not to mention our regional councillors. So every Friday morning at this time, we do a deeper dive into one of the areas in the community with a segment we call Council Chambers. Today, our focus is on Wellesley Township. The mayor there is Joe Nowak, who is with us. Mayor Nowak, I also know a condominium development is coming. In fact, a couple. I think Queensbush has one and Doring Street the other. Do I have that right?
Yeah, the one on Queensbush is a smaller development. I think there's 10 units involved with that one. The one on Doring Street is close to 50 units or 50 plus. That's an interesting one. And so we just approved the plan of subdivision for that at the last council meeting. It's interesting because what they've done, they've had to get a minor variance there. They wanted to go from a single car, it'll be a single car garage, but they wanted a wider driveway so that you could actually have a second vehicle in there. And the reason they wanted to do that is that they will be able, the owner of that property will then be able to take the basement and convert that into an apartment, which I think is a fantastic idea. It really addresses some of the housing problems that concerns that we've had over here. So we're looking forward to that happening. They have some T's to dot and I's to dot and T's to cross before they actually start. But I think they'll be putting in the servicing this year, and then hopefully we'll see some construction there early next year, maybe later this year if all things go well.
Is this plan, Mayor Nowak, for, you know, townhouse condominium kind of development? A lot of times when we think about condos, we think about the 30 and 40 story things we have in the cities. Certainly that's not what we're talking about here.
No. These are, I haven't got the exact details of the lots, but they're single story units spread out across, I'm not sure how many acres, but a fair distance. And it's a beautiful spot. The Deering Tree is a beautiful spot right across from the development. There's a bush and there's a trail that's going to lead up into our park. So it's I'm looking forward to that development for sure.
Just another sign of the times, isn't it? We are growing. We're in the places to grow area of Ontario, and the townships are absolutely not excluded from that.
Yeah, you know, there's some beautiful things happening out in Wellesley right now. Maybe I'll get a chance to explain one of them to you after we do the next question here.
you're on the ball. You're a smart man. I wanted to ask about, we all know that the township is known for its apple butter and cheese festival, but I think a little birdie has told me, Mayor Nowak, that we're going to see this a little bit more, I guess, visibly as we enter the township.
Yeah, the Apple Butter Festival approached the council meeting, I think it was the last council meeting, with some designs for new way forward signs into the community. The ones that have been there, gosh, as long as I can remember. And they were getting pretty rough. So these new signs that they're coming in, and the festival's covering all the costs for it, the installation. We've got the approval from the property owner. So, yep, that'll be happening this spring, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
So these new signs will be ready for the upcoming festival then?
Yeah, they had a fantastic year last year. It was, I was there flipping pancakes first thing in the morning, and, it was the first year I can remember where the Yellow Jackets didn't seem to bother us, at least till late in the day. So it was a great morning. The weather was perfect, too.
Well, we'll look forward to the next one, and we'll look forward to that new signage as we enter the township and so many other things that are going on there. Perhaps we'll have to meet and take our dogs for a walk together and see all these beautiful things, Mayor Nowak.
Well, do I have another minute?
Of course you do.
Okay, so a couple things I wanted to mention to you. And this is a bit of a story. So this goes back to the 1800s. There was a poet by the name of Alfred Lord Tennyson. In that time frame, he wrote a poem called The Lady of Shalott. I'm not sure if you'd be familiar with it.
I am indeed.
Oh, are you? Good. So it's a story, if I understand it, I've read parts of it, not the whole thing, but it's a story about a woman who was sort of sequestered on an island. She fell in love with Lancelot, and she wanted to get to Camelot to be with Lancelot. On her way there, she across the river, and she drowned. So fast forward to the spring. There's a sculpture by the name of Timothy Smaltz in St. Jacob's, I believe, is where his office is, who has offered to donate a sculpture of the Lady of Shalott to Wellesley Township. And he's doing it in remembrance of his father, who used to teach here. I think his uncle maybe as well. They taught in the village, so this is sort of in remembrance to them. That he's going to do the concrete work and put in the just the lady of Shalott will be lying by our river or by our pond come this spring. So that's, I think that's an interesting addition to our community. Now he's done work all over Europe. He's got stuff in the Vatican, so well known. So we're looking forward to this.
He is a tremendously gifted sculptor and a real gift to our community. I wasn't aware the sculpture was going to be ready so soon. So he's already been working on it, and it'll be installed this spring.
That's right. Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely another thing to look forward to in the township. Mayor Nowak, appreciate your time on the show today. Thank you very much for being here.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Wellesley Township Mayor Joe Nowak joins us on the show this morning. It's funny on, well, yeah, kind of funny, haha. I laugh at things because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. But I noticed on one of the council agendas in Wellesley Township about this sculpture. And all I did was think to myself, oh boy, like, is it just me? Or do you get a little bit nervous when you hear about sculptures these days? But I can't imagine, I cannot imagine there is any controversy around Lady Shalott, right? And of course, Timothy Schmaltz, who is the gifted sculptor that is gifting this to the township. So we'll see her lady around the pond in Wellesley as of this spring. Lots happening in the township. Those signs, I know you know the signs when you go into the township that advertise it as the home, the township, of the Apple Butter and Cheese Festival. New signage coming at no cost to the township. The festival itself has secured the funds in order to make this happen. So that'll be a brighter, newer look. And then you've got some condominium developed, townhouse, a new subdivision coming in on Deering Street. Lots going on in Wellesley Township right now, as we learn on Council Chambers this Friday morning here on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. The Tragically Hip by request on your All Request Friday here on the program. Joe wanted to hear that. I like how much Canadian music gets requested during our All Request Friday. Remember, we're headed into the St. Paddy's Day weekend, and Nathan wanted to hear our Irish rock or music requests. We can do that as well. It's up to you. It's your Friday. You can make the request of the song that you want. We'll play a little bit of it for you. Get in as many songs as we can before we call it a day at 1 o'clock. As soon as we call it a day at 1 o'clock, I'm going to go and get ready to head to the hockey rink because it's Friday. And you know what Fridays mean in Kitchener, right? Game day, baby. Game day. And the LeBlanc twins, former draft picks of the Kitchener Rangers, and the North Bay Battalion are in town tonight to take on your hockey club. Will get you ready as you need to be for that game tonight in our next 30 minutes. The coaches show and the other coaches show coming up on the Mike Farwell Show. That's a lot of show. 570 News Radio. The sound you hear when the Kitchener Rangers score a goal. They did that four times on Sunday in a win over the Guelph Storm. And tonight, the Kitchener Rangers close out a three-game homestand as the North Bay Battalion come to town. As we do every Friday morning at this time, we're joined by Rangers head coach Jussi Ahokas for the Coaches Show. Good morning, Jussi.
Well, good morning.
The end of that game versus Guelph was pretty tense. The Storm were pressing. They had their net empty. You have a one-goal lead. Do moments like that and minutes like that in the game help prepare a team for the playoffs when there's that kind of pressure?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm just playing those six-on-five situations to get more of those, because there'll be a lot of those in playoffs. So it's good. It's good. Guys get to see that. And all in all, not our best game. We got 2 points, so I was good. Good, and just getting prepared for playoffs.
You mentioned not your best game. Was there a part of the game that disappointed you? I mean, you had 3-0 lead after two periods, but the Storm really pressed in the third.
Well, I think we scored the fourth goal, but kind of we took a little bit foot off the gas, and of course at that point they needed every single point what they can get. That you don't want to give anything to the opposing team, and they didn't have many chances. But on the 6-on-5, that's where they actually had a few really good ones, but not before that. So you have to be dialed in and just play the right way and kind of keep playing the same way you played the whole 60. So, but it's all right, and we got those 2 points, so it was a good learning point for the boys. But now it's a new game again today.
The power play really came back to life last weekend. You see multiple power play goals in both of those games. What's got the power play working?
Well, I think the biggest thing is when the boys move the puck and don't overhandle it and don't try to force things and take what they have. Like, and when we're moving the puck quick, like, that's when our power play is working. And I think Jeff Grisakis has done a great job with the boys, and the boys have started to understand more and more, like, what do you actually have to do to be play effective. So, yeah, I'm happy on that, and hopefully today we will have a good power play also.
Five games left in the regular season. You'll play them all in the next 9 days. Is this a difficult time of the year to keep the players focused with the playoffs so close, and maybe they're starting to think about that?
I think, of course, but we have to go day by day like we've been going and just keep getting that little bit better, and that we give our best chance that we're ready when the playoffs start, and that's what we want to do. And all in all, if we play bad these five games, it doesn't give us a good chance for the start. I think focus on the day and just let's go day by day, and after that, see the playoffs after we played all these five games.
The next 2 days, you're going to face desperate teams. North Bay tonight, fighting for the final playoff spot. In the East, Owen Sound tomorrow, fighting for the final playoff spot in the West. What do you need to see from your team against these teams that are much lower than them in the standings?
Well, of course, it's actually good for us that they're desperate, so they'll be giving their best effort. So it's actually for good preparation for playoffs, because they're already in playoff mode. So, but we have to. Well, I think how dumb it is, and just play our game. We have to get pucks behind their deep, be ready to battle, defend really well, and play our game. Like, if we play the right way, and that's when, and we go to the net and we play hard, I think we'll do just fine.
You had some guys last weekend, UC, reach milestones in goals. Miljevic is 30th, Romano and Pridham 25 each now, and Swicks at 26. I mean, you've got guys that are really putting up some impressive numbers this year. What does that tell you about the offense in this hockey club?
Well, it's good. We have a lot of guys who can score. We don't have any 60 or 50 goal scorers, but I think it's more wider, and like the whole year, it's the team, and so that tells that we have we have a lot of different guys who can score, and I think that that's good thing. So we have depth in our lineup.
Looking forward to the game. As always, we'll see you at the rink tonight, UC. Thank you.
Thank you.
UC Ahokas, head coach of the Kitchener Rangers, joins us every Friday morning at this time for the Coach's Show. It's just one of the ways we help you get ready for game day, baby. Game day. Rangers take on the North Bay Battalion tonight at the Memorial Auditorium. We paid them a visit on New Year's Eve. We were in North Bay. Evan Hedrick played his first Ontario Hockey League game, regular season game, scored a goal in that game. As I recall, I'm just going off the top of my head, but I think that's the way it worked out. And now North Bay comes to Kitchener, and we will be on the air, Paul Fixter and I, with your Harris Law pregame show beginning at 6:30. That'll get you set for puck drop. We'll have information. We'll have entertainment. The Fix is in for City Cabs. Lots of fun on the pregame show. Then the opening faceoff will bring you all of the action. Our intermissions, I can already tell you tonight, we're gonna shine a spotlight on women's hockey locally, because there are some big things happening. It's going to be great. I think you'll enjoy it. And then, of course, after the game, like we do after every home game, we open up the phone lines to hear from you on Rangers Talk. So from about 6:30 till about 11, we usually stay till 11 o'clock on Friday nights. You are covered with Kitchener Rangers hockey right here on your home for Rangers hockey. And when you want questions answered, or you want to talk about the Ontario Hockey League, or you want to hear stories about Paul Fixter's time in the National Hockey League, it's only one place you can get all of that. It's right here on your home of Rangers hockey. Everything getting underway at 6:30 tonight. Rangers Battalion. The aforementioned Paul Fixter. The Other Coach's Show is coming up right after this on the Mike Farwell Show. 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Jackie Wilson and Higher and Higher by request for Doug on this All Request Friday here on the program. Fridays, of course, are also game days. Kitchener Rangers taking on the North Bay Battalion. This is the penultimate Friday home game. The London Knights are coming to town next Tuesday, and then it will be the Owen Sound Attack in Kitchener next Friday night for the final Friday. Actually, that'll be the final regular season home game 1 week from tonight. But tonight it's all about North Bay. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30. Paul Fixter will be alongside me, and he's alongside me right now for the Other Coaches Show this morning. Good morning, Fixie.
Good morning, Mike. What a beautiful day, isn't it?
I tell you, I'm surprised that you're not. I mean, are you at least polishing the golf clubs? Like, what do you do to get ready? Because you must be itching.
Yes, I am. I actually was over at the golf course yesterday and looking around, and the snow is melting. That's a good sign. That means golf isn't too far away.
Absolutely. Something that you drew my attention to post-game on Sunday after the Rangers win over Guelph, Paul, was the way that the offense for the Kitchener Rangers has been spread out. And I just talked to UC Ahokas about it, too. Obviously, he likes the depth of his team. But I'm looking back at 2007-2008, a season I know you'll remember well, when the Rangers went to the Memorial Cup, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that year, Justin Azevedo, Mikhail Bodker, Nick Spaulding, Nazem Kadri, and Yannick Weber, along with Mike Duco. So those six guys, Duco, Weber, Kadri, Spaulding, Bodker, Azevedo, all scored more than 20 goals, 20 or more. Weber had 20. Paul, the Rangers have four guys with 20 now and Luke Elenis with 19. Like, they're right in that conversation, aren't they?
Yeah, and that team, Mike, was the team that, didn't they? Wasn't that the team that set the all-time wins record?
It did indeed, with 53.
53, yeah. And it says something about depth scoring. And I heard UC say, we don't have a 50 or 60 goal score. but we have a lot of guys that can score. And that makes a team much more difficult to defend against when, you know, it's line after line that you have to worry about, as opposed to worrying about one or two guys. And I think that's a great situation for the Rangers to be in having that depth. And, you know, Cameron Reed is at 14 goals, so he's going to be a 15-goal scorer anyways. I mean, he's going to get one more between now and the end of the season. So that's a lot of great scoring depth.
Vermeulen's on 14, too. Wouldn't it be great if one of those guys caught fire and we had another 20-goal scorers on the on the team? But, yeah, and that depth, you talk about it. It makes it that much more difficult to game plan and play against this team as the playoffs come around, because to which line are you going to assign your best checkers?
And, Mike, you've been around long enough. I don't care if at the Ontario League level, whatever level, the National League, there's unsung heroes on championship teams, and those are the guys that, you know, had the 15 or 18 goals during the season. Then I think back to John Drews way back with the LA Kings and guys like that that just catch fire in the playoffs. And so the other guys get focused on, the big point producers get focused on, and then the other guys have to step up. And successful teams have that, no question about it.
Rangers have won 6 of 7 heading into this weekend, the final 5 games in 9 days. But we talked an awful lot about how the schedule in March works really well for the Rangers, with 6 at home, 3 on the road. Even though they're playing 5 in the next 9 days, the team, Paul, to me, with those 6 wins in 7 games, and they've got points in all of them, the only loss, a shootout loss in Owen Sound, they're playing the way you want to see them play, even though the game's, I mean, I hesitate to say meaningless, but really, the Rangers are going to finish 3rd, and there's nothing that's going to change that, but yet they're still going out there and giving a pretty consistent performance.
Well, I like what the Coach Ahoka said about it's good preparation versus teams like North Bay, Owen Sound, Guelph, teams that are desperate, basically playing playoff hockey. Now, it's a good preparation for the Rangers knowing what they're going to face. And this North Bay team, like, they're in a battle here, obviously, for the playoffs. But I looked at their schedule. They just lost to Brantford the other night, 2-1. That's who they'll be playing in the first round. Brantford's the lead team in the Eastern Conference. They've got multiple one-goal games against Brantford. So it's a team that knows how to play close hockey and has been in a fight. I don't think it'll be an easy game for Kitchener. I think North Bay is going to give them everything they can handle.
5 games to go, 6 points away from 100. Even though UC Ahokas mentioned it to you once, and it came after the big win the Rangers had in Niagara, he hasn't really committed to it or acknowledged that it's a goal for the team. But it's got to be, even in the back of their minds, they can make it, right? 6 points, 5 games?
Oh, absolutely they can make it. You had asked me that if I was in or out on them getting there, and I'm certainly in on that. He keeps mentioning words that he uses all the time are focus and process, and that, well, if they're going to maintain their focus and their process and their structure and their systems, that'll get them to the, you know, the wins that they need to. They're on 44 wins right now, and they can easily get to 47 wins, I would think, which would get them there.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about you, Fixie, but I'm kind of chomping at the bit here. I'm ready for some playoff hockey at this point.
Well, I heard you in your first hour of your morning show today, Mike, talking about boycotting going to the United States. How the heck are we going to play Flint if we can't get to the States?
Fixie, let's boycott. Sorry, guys, we can't do the games in Flint.
Could we call the games from home and not have to make that trip? But no, I'm anxious. I'm looking forward to the playoffs. It's a great time of year. It's going to be a good first round matchup because Flint is no pushover. They've got some good players like that you and I have talked about. They've got a very good goaltender. I think the nice thing is it's a different opponent finally for our fans to witness in the playoffs.
That's a really good point. Before I let you go, Fixie, some things that I think will probably form the basis of Rangers talk later tonight, depending on what happens in the game versus North Bay. But news in the league this week, the Niagara Ice Dogs, trouble continues. Now another investigation into the team around allegations of staff on the team and inappropriate behavior. And the Oshawa Generals hiring as an associate coach, two-time Memorial Cup champion from the Quebec League, Mario Puglio. Tell me the Gens aren't all in here.
Yeah, interesting. I guess they recognize that the inexperience of their interim head coach, which I didn't realize he was interim.
I didn't realize that either.
Yeah, so, you know, inexperience, fresh out of a playing career, you bring in a veteran presence. I guess, you know, Roger Hunt does a pretty good job, so I know he's done his homework. As for Niagara, Mike, it's just... The saga just continues, doesn't it? Like year after year.
And this is like they were a top 10 CHL ranked team early on. They led the Eastern Conference at various times early in the season. They have currently lost 16 of 17 games.
Yeah, it's crazy. They went on that 12 game tailspin, and what a time for them to be falling out of contention. And it's a franchise that it's too bad they haven't been able to get their stuff together, because it's a great location. It's a great building. It could be a tremendous franchise. They just need to get it figured out.
They sure do. All right, Fixie, you enjoy the rest of this beautiful day, and we will see you inside the arena tonight for some almost playoff hockey.
And I do look forward, Mike, to the talk that we are going to talk about with women's hockey coming up. I think it's fantastic.
I can't wait for that. I know you've reached out to your extensive network, and we're going to have a great first intermission guest and more, for sure.
All right. We'll see you tonight at the rink.
See you, Fixie. Paul Fixter, the other coach, the other coach's show. Paul's also our color commentator on Rangers broadcasts. Everything you need begins at 6:30 with the Harris Law pregame show. Rangers Battalion, followed by Rangers Talk, right here on 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Fridays on this show are not just getting you ready for game night at the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. They are also for recapping the big stories of the week with some guests invited from across the community. Our Friday 4 Roundtable gathers right after this on the Mike Farwell Show. 570 News Radio. Friday morning from 11 until noon. It is the stuff of tradition here on the program. We talk about the week's big stories with some guests invited from around the community. Joining us on the Friday for this morning, Linda Ockwell Jenner, who's the president at motivationalsteps.com. Linda, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike. I see you've lost all your hair with all this Trump business.
If that only could have been my excuse back in high school when it started disappearing on me, Linda. That's how long the process has been. Good to see you this morning. Thanks for being here.
And you. Thank you.
Steve Bentley is with us, managing principal at Northern River Financial. Bentley, good morning.
How are you doing, Farwell?
I'm doing top shelf, my friend. How about you?
Hey. I'm good. I'm glad to see you getting your campaign kicked off, too, for Farwell for Hire. Bet you're looking forward to that again.
Oh, right? Yeah. I can't wait. 31 days of incredibly difficult work on top of, well, I don't work otherwise. So, yes. And I noticed that you shared our post, and I appreciate you for that. And look forward to seeing you before the month of May and throughout the month of May. You've always been a great supporter. Thank you.
But at least I have a little more hair.
You do have a little more hair and a lot more intelligence, which is why you're here. We're hoping that John Hendry joins us as well, but John tends to have technical difficulties. I'm not sure. Or maybe he just missed the email to join us this morning. Nonetheless, I know that Linda and Steve and I can manage with the conversations because they are big ones, and I'm sure we have lots to say about them. We'll start with the trade war that we are absolutely now in the midst of. And it's a bit of a merry-go-round, isn't it? You get kind of dizzy trying to keep up with it all. But an interesting conversation we had earlier this week prompts this question. And I'll start with you, Linda. How should Canada respond? Should we retaliate as we are with billions of dollars in counter tariffs? Or should we negotiate and try to get a new free trade agreement worked out here?
We should retaliate. We should have done this the last time. And if we go backwards again this time and don't make new partnerships across the world, and I don't want us to depend on the States, America ever again, because they voted for Trump. So what I don't get about this is he's not very good at mathematics, is he, or economics, because he seems to think it's not going to impact his people in America, but it will impact them. So the more we retaliate and the more we find new ways to do trade with other people and never, ever go back, I think it's terrible. And I don't get why he keeps on saying all those things about, you know, 51st state and everything like that. It has made us come together more, though, hasn't it, and kind of get more into our, we love Canada, we own Canada. I would move back to England if that ever happened.
If we became the 51st state?
I never emigrated to live in America. I've got relatives there and I visit there, obviously for business and everything, but I'm proud of being a Canadian. And the thing is, you know what I think we should do? I think we should stop being scared and showing our fear and just laugh at the man. Just laugh at him. Just don't take it seriously, because the more he thinks we're in fear of him, and I don't like the way he treats people. He's very rude. He's very rude and obnoxious, and I'm very disappointed.
I'm not convinced still that any of this 51st state nonsense is legitimate. However, I am fairly confident that what Donald Trump wants to do at the end of all of this is renegotiate a deal that he believes is better for America. The thing that makes me curious about that is he negotiated the current deal back when he was in office between 2016 and 2020. And at the time, he called it the best deal and the fairest deal, et cetera. So I don't know. Steve Bentley, what do you make of this?
Where do I start? Let's start with your comment there about the 51st state. It's all noise. Everything he says is noise. It's meant to disrupt. It's meant to confuse. It's meant to keep people on their toes. They call him a great negotiator, but he does it through fear, intimidation, and threat. And that is horrible as far as I'm concerned. The 51st state to me and Governor Carney, I haven't heard that yet, really comes down to just keeping us, you know. But you know what? It revs us up. And the thing about these tariffs, I don't believe we should be doing counter to counter. I think we should be very selective. We should do something, but not go to the same extent he is, because he's just going to racket up another tariff amount on his reciprocal tariffs, as he likes to call them. But if he just asked us, we need to talk about A, B, C, D, and let's negotiate as two civil, mature countries, as opposed to him thinking he can get anywhere through threat and intimidation, because that's all he knows. He does it right around the world, Greenland, Panama. You're looking at Ukraine. You're looking at what's happening, you know, with Russia and stuff like that. Who does he think he is? You know, it's the United States, sure, but they're much better people than that. And I don't understand how they could elect somebody like that because of who he's been. That just is an underlying theme in the American psyche right now, is they need and want change in terms of their political government. And I think it doesn't function. I mean, sitting down and looking at what's Congress doing right now, what's the Senate doing right now, where are the courts in terms of all these things? He signed over almost 90 executive orders since he, you know, with a nice, holding it up so everybody could see his beautiful signature. And it's just a stage for him, right? So I think we should be very guarded in terms of how we do it, because it's going to cost us as Canadians in terms of tariffs put on American products coming into Canada. The funny thing is, you know, he says it's not going to affect Americans, it's going to make it better. But look at the stock market in the last week. Okay. Canadian or TSX hasn't been as bad, but it's up today, fortunately. But it just has not been good. You're looking at the auto industry, you're looking at the steel industry, and you know what? They need our aluminum. They need our steel. Cars have to still transition across the border. And who pays that bill in terms of a tariff being applied? And that's the American citizen, right? It impacts us. It impacts us, our ability. But what it does now, fortunately, say is, let's look at our other trading partners. Let's look around the world. Let's see who we can have a better relationship with. I just don't get this in terms of him being elected as president. And we're just going to have to wait, you know, what sort of just move along and do it as we see tactically. But I will say, and I think we'll come into this topic a little later, we've got a very seasoned person now who will become prime minister later today. So I'm kind of content on hopefully some leadership there.
We will talk
can
about... Please do.
Can I just jump in? Sorry about that. So what I understand about Trump, he's now saying it's reciprocal. He's saying that because we started this, he's going to reciprocate and throw the tariffs at us. But he started it, point one. And point two, why is he so annoyed now? Because the EU is doing, a 50% tariff, right, on American whiskey. So now he's angry that they're doing what he started doing, and now he's threatening a 200% tariff on alcohol from the EU, like champagne and everything. So it reminds me very much of a naughty child. You know, he wants to be a bully. Yeah, he wants to be a bully, but then he thinks we're bullying him back. The good thing about Canada, I think, now is we've got a lot of European countries and we're going to have even more. I believe in this a lot. And I must point out quickly, I think Trudeau could have dealt with this as well as Carney, but I do love Carney. I love both of them. But basically, Trump, please stop being like you are and thinking that we started this and thinking if we do something back, you know, basically you're going to do better than us because he's going to ruin America.
I like your point about, I don't know how you can call them reciprocal tariffs. Ours are reciprocal, and I don't think you can reciprocate on reciprocity. Anyway, it's confusing. It's as confusing as trying to renegotiate a deal that you yourself negotiated. But I also find myself a wee bit confused this week because we've talked about these tariffs and how they're going to hurt American citizens. So what is the U.S. administration doing? And yet our response is to do the same thing to Canadian citizens. So we're all going to hurt, and that's frustrating, but we'll see where this goes. You've both mentioned Mark Carney, and yes, he is now our prime minister as Justin Trudeau has officially resigned. And as we speak, Mark Carney is being sworn in, the first ever prime minister this country has had that's never before been elected to office. We'll talk about him as our Friday 4 Roundtable continues this morning. Linda Ockwell Jenner and Steve Bentley with us on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. With us around the virtual table this morning, Linda Ockwell Jenner, Steve Bentley, and John Hendry has joined us, professional speaker, author, and retired public school board trustee. So, John, I'll give you first crack at this second subject we'll be discussing. I'll just need you to take yourself off mute over there. But we're talking now about Mark Carney, who is now our 24th prime minister. What do you make of Prime Minister Carney, John Hendry?
Well, to be honest with you, Mike, I think right now, whether you're conservative or liberal, we have to start looking at what's good for the country. And right now, I think stability for the country is more important than party politics. So I'll put my conservative hat on the shelf for a while and wish Mr. Carney good luck and hope that he's able, you know, to bring some certainty to Canadians.
Steve, what do you think? Prime Minister Carney.
I echo what John's saying. I think we need to deal with the politics. And I think what's nice now is Carney has a lot of experience, although not directly political, but we needed a new face on the Liberal Party. And now we've got something that actually is going to be, when an election is called, probably within a week or two. We have two parties who are very close in the current polls. So, you know, we'll have to see what Canadians have to say. And whoever it is needs a new mandate to deal with the current situation that we're dealing with the United States. I think that Mark's experience with respect to the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, going through 2008 COVID and that kind of stuff has given him a lot of experience, but let's see what he does. And I'm interested to see what his new cabinet is going to be. Today, I understand Mark Miller is not going to be the immigration minister. That's one change I know of. He's making a smaller cabinet, which probably is not a bad idea. But we need to see how he stands up against, Mr. Trump and what's being levied on us currently. But however we look at it, I think it's drawing Canada closer. And it's good to see, an election coming up will hopefully give people a chance to voice their opinion.
I'm glad we have an election coming up because I'm not entirely comfortable. I recognize that this is how our system works and the Constitution allows for it, but I'm not particularly comfortable that we have a prime minister, even if for a short time, that's never held office. He's never been voted in by citizens. That concerns me a little bit. Linda, your thoughts on Prime Minister Carney?
I already love him. And there's lots of reasons. And obviously, I understand he hasn't been voted in yet, but this is terrible times and needs must. And I'd rather have him there now, you know, planning, and then we'll have the election. So he's got good blood in him. His grandparents came from Ireland, so that means he's got some fight in him, okay? He looks like a very quiet man, but I don't think he's as quiet as he looks. So he did have Irish citizenship, and as you all probably know, he intends on... he's a British citizen too, and he intends on giving those up, those citizenships, because he doesn't feel, even though other politicians do have, you know, lots of different citizenships, he doesn't feel it's right for him. He's also disposed of or hidden or got blind accounts or something. I'm not an accountant, you know, for all his money in the background, all his, Steve, you know the word I'm looking for, investments. He's done everything possible to build trust with us before he's even been voted in as a proper prime minister, really. Let's call him a standing one. So I already trust him, and I'm happy that he hasn't actually got any political bad habits yet. He's not really a professional politician, because I feel that some politicians who've been doing this a long time kind of get stuck in a rut and don't think like the real people think. I'm a real person, not a politician. You guys can call yourself anything you like, but I sometimes think politicians get voted in and they forget why they are there. And it's all about that party, that party, that party. It's never about the people and what we want. They seem to forget. And also, I hope he tries to bring the divide together and get all of us to work together, politicians, people. I think he's going to do a good number on Trump, and I think he's going to... I've heard that Trump doesn't like him at all, and I think that's because he's a very clever man. He knows about, you know, economics. His wife, evidently, is an economist as well. I just think he's absolutely wonderful, and I will definitely vote for whoever I need to vote for so that he becomes prime minister.
So are we saying now, though, like, I know he's prime minister for the moment, but he's going to have to campaign... And then yeah. Canadians generally are going to have to vote for him. Does Pierre Poilievre not have a chance here?
Not in my book, he doesn't, for the simple reason he's too much like Trump. I am sorry, I would be scared silly if he actually gets to be voted as a prime minister. And also, I know you've got to get to the nitty-gritty and say why you don't like other people who are running against you, but he keeps changing his mind. And then, like I say, I don't want a Trump as our prime minister in Canada. That would be disgusting. I just don't think he'd be a nice person.
I don't like the equivalent of Poilievre being called Trump, although they probably share some ideals. And I think, Mike, what you said is perfectly important in the sense that there has to be an election, he has to campaign, and he has to be voted for. Excuse me, people have a chance to vote for who they want to be their next government. That's all important. It doesn't matter what he's doing right now. That's got to be the next step, as far as I'm concerned.
John, quickly before our break, does Pierre Poilievre have a chance here?
Well, I certainly hope so, because he's a very strong leader. I think the Liberal Party is on an incredibly good job on misdirecting, misleading, misinforming people about Trump. If you watch his ads closely, the Liberal ads closely, you're going to find that there's a lot of photoshopping and cuts put in there. So let's let the people decide and not the politicians. I'm hoping Poilievre gets in, but as I said earlier, I will not be depressed or disappointed so much if Carney gets in. I think the most important issue right now is let's get some stability. Let's get people in. I believe both Carney and Trump, Carney and Poilievre are capable, quite capable of dealing with Trump, who probably a psychiatrist would have been the best bet to get in. But anyway, yes. We'll have to take what we get.
The sooner we can get to an election, the better from where I'm sitting. John Hendry, Linda Ockwell Jenner, Steve Bentley with us on the Friday 4 Roundtable this morning. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. With us on the round table this morning, Steve Bentley, Linda Ockwell Jenner, and John Hendry are here. We're going to get you to the 570 News Center for an update, and then the court order is in effect in the University District. And 5 years later, what did we learn from COVID-19? That conversation continues with our Friday 4 round table this morning on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. This guy when he came through Kitchener last year. Brian Adams by request for Ron on this All Request Friday here on the show. Brian Adams still sounds good and looks good too for a guy that's pushing 70 now. He might be 70 already. I don't think he's quite 70. Anyway, it's an All Request Friday here on the program. That, of course, is heaven more Canadian content for you on the show today. It's always Canadian. It's Waterloo Region content. It's some of Waterloo Region's finest on the Friday 4 Roundtable every Friday morning. With us today, Steve Bentley, Managing Principal at Northern River Financial, Linda Ockwell Jenner, President at MotivationalSteps.com, and John Hendry, who's a professional speaker and author, as well as a retired public school board trustee. Steve, I'll start with you on this next topic, and that topic is the heavy-handed approach that the City of Waterloo and our local police service is taking with regard to the St. Paddy's Day bash. I look out my window and, oh boy, it's a nice day. I don't know that the party's going to start today, but the court order that allows police to arrest and detain partiers instead of just ticket and fine, that court order in effect today. Steve, are we being too heavy-handed here?
Not at all. And I think it's the disrespect of property, people, and the students having what they feel is a free rein to do whatever they want without respect for other people. The process of ticketing and fining is just so cumbersome. And then the process afterwards through processing, I think they need to have the mandate to do what they feel they need to do on the spot. So if that's arresting people, then there's obviously going to be due course as to why, but I think they should have that ability to do that. I just don't know why it's taken, oh, let's say 5 years for them to finally decide this is a good tool in their quiver. It's, I think, giving them the mandate that we should have given them a long time ago. So I actually wish we could get these students, and there's so many great students, but there's always the one who just have a party, feel they can do whatever they want, and it's an encumbering on so many other people. And the money we're paying to police this and process this and the cost of the public coffers, and that's, I don't understand that. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars each year in terms of the money we're having to deal with in order to go through this. And I don't know where the public institutions are in terms of the universities and what say they have or what control they have or if there's any more we can leverage there, but you know, when people can't even drive down their own residential street, it's just ridiculous. So I think it's important and I think it's well due.
It's interesting because I couldn't agree more when you talk, Steve, about the number of terrific students that we have in this community, the energy they bring to the community. I think generally speaking, we would say we're pleased to be a post-secondary community like we are. The problem with this party is that students come from all around because they know Waterloo's the epicenter. Busloads come in from other jurisdictions as far away as Hamilton, etc. And somebody said to me earlier this week, if this works, all we're going to do is push the party into another neighborhood. So Guelph, get ready, because your party, which I know you're policing, also could get bigger. Linda, over to you. Are we being too heavy-handed with this court order?
No, but you're being a bit too late. We should have done this years ago. Because it's now a habit, and it, Really? Are they going to arrest anyone, let alone hundreds of people? They haven't got the space, they haven't got the resources, they haven't got the time. It's a bit like one of the, sorry, new moms out there, but this soft parenting that goes on today. I read the other day that they're already starting to regret soft parenting. So that's what they've been doing with this St. Paddy's thing. You know, they've known it's getting out of hand. They've known it's getting worse. And they've taken too long to do this. So do I think we've been heavy-handed? No. Do I think the students are laughing at us? Yes. Because how can you arrest hundreds of people? It's ridiculous. And we know the police haven't got enough resources. And I'm always complaining about bylaw because they haven't got enough bylaw people. So, you know, it's like they come to my house to tell me we didn't do our snow when my husband hurt his back, but they didn't go around the corner two inches to tell the other people. So it's not too heavy-handed. It's just too late. They should have done it before.
Interesting, we talk about how are you going to arrest hundreds of people when this party is attended by tens of thousands. I do still have my questions around that. Like, the court order is one thing, enforcing it and actually arresting people, scores of people. I can't imagine it actually happening, but we shall see. John Hendry, thoughts? Are we being too heavy-handed here?
No, I agree with Lynn, Steve. One thing is students to realize the freedom and the university experience that they have, the consequence and if their actions, they have to be reasonable. A lot of students, I think, just drink because they want to have a great time, and sometimes that gets out of hand. When you have that many people together, the problem, it just gets worse, obviously. I think what will happen is there'll be priorities, of course, with the police. You know, they can't arrest everybody. So they'll have to, look at the people that are, destroying property, or they're completely out of hand, belligerent. Anything can happen at these things. And I look at the worst possible scenarios that could happen in terms of safety of the students. And let's hope we all get through this. But in terms of the bylaw, I think the police or the councils have been tolerant and have had to work with the universities, student unions to try to resolve this issue every year. And hasn't worked. And so, yes, it's too late, but on the other hand, it's a fair pause.
Steve, let me throw this back over to you, because John gets me thinking when he talks about, the drinking culture that might be a part of university life. I've never been shy about pointing out that I enjoy my beer. I enjoy it very responsibly, because you reach a certain age when responsibilities the next morning dictate your activities the night before. But we know, kids should be able to have a good time. Would you support a sanctioned St. Paddy's Day event? Can we create something that's unique to Waterloo Region, much like Oktoberfest, and have something in the spring?
Well, we know about your experience with beer. Not many people have one named after them. and I wanted to point out, Brian Adams is 65 years old.
Thank you. I knew.
There 70, you go.
Yeah, okay. So he's only middle 60s, but he still looks great. Damn.
I'd love to explore the concept of a sanctioned event. I think that it would be wise, because there's more control that can be placed into something like that. And as John said, it can be dangerous for some students to be drinking in excess and being in much large crowds. To tie back to what Linda said about, or the ability to enforce, I think the fact that they have a new tool in terms of this court order is a step forward. Should it happen a while ago? Sure. But now we'll see how and if they do use it. I mean, the police know how to handle a situation, and they know if they're going to enforce arresting people. It's more for a statement. It's more for an example of what other people should be thinking about. But I think we should have explored a sanctioned event many years ago, right, to try and nip this in the bud. It's just, like you said, buses coming from different areas. This is growing and growing and growing. And it gets to the point where it's out of control, and it makes it much harder to do something like that. The question is, if you put a sanctioned event in, would the students still want to attend that particular location, or are they still going to do what they're doing now? So I think it's part of a solution, and that's a hard word to use in terms of a solution. I don't know that there is a real solution, but we've got to cramp down and try, you know, control it. And hopefully this court order will give the police a little more leverage to do what they feel they need to do.
It's going to be an interesting weekend, to be sure. Steve Bentley, Linda Ockwell-Jenner, and John Hendry with us on the Friday 4 Roundtable this morning. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we marked this week 5 years since the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. What have we learned since? We'll talk about it with our Friday 4 Roundtable on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio, and Rogers TV. Little bit of Rush and some Red Barchetta by request from, I think, every one of you. Everyone listening to the show. And by everyone, I mean Jim and George and Russell. All three listeners today wanted to hear Red Barchetta from Rush as part of your All Request Friday here on the program. We are happy to oblige. You know I love me some Rush. I also love the Friday 4 Roundtable, a chance to discuss the week's big stories with our guests, who today include Linda Ockwell-Jenner, Steve Bentley, and John Hendry. Linda, I'll start with you on this last one that we'll be discussing, and that is the five-year anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring COVID-19 a global pandemic. It was March the 11th, 2020. I was on my way to a Rangers game in Guelph, listening to 570 News Radio, when I heard on the afternoon update that the global pandemic had been declared. What have we learned since, Linda?
Nothing. So, it should have taught us a lesson, really, that basically, you know, simple things like if you've got a really, really bad cold, don't go into the office or don't spread it around vulnerable people. I must admit, I've never wore my shoes in my home, but I wasn't quite so good at washing my hands when I'd done the grocery shopping as I have been since after COVID. But, and this is gross, people, you're going to hate me for this, but if you've ever been in a woman's loo, a woman's public washroom, how many women leave that washroom without washing their hands after going to the loo? So basically, we haven't learned a lot about cleanliness and not spreading germs. And basically, I think what we should have learned from that is that, you know, in order not to spread viruses or colds or flu or whatever, well, we've got a measles epidemic on our hands, haven't we? Because basically some parents or whoever think it's not good to have the jab because it will cause all these things. So some people still think that if we have the the follow-up injections for COVID, the boosters, that it's not a good thing to do. But, I mean, I've had breast cancer twice. My daughter's got cancer. There are vulnerable people out there. So we're helping those people. We've learned to be as selfish, as non-caring. And then when we get COVID, we complain about it that somebody passed it on to us. So I know I'm painting a very horrible picture, but really it's just about the basics and caring for each other. Simple.
I will admit that I'm among the worst offenders of having gone back to being one of those tough it out warriors at work. Like, if I'm not feeling great, nah, a couple of Tylenol cold and I'll get through the day. But I know, Linda, you're right. You should slap me on the wrist and then some, because it's something I should have learned and I certainly didn't. Steve, what about you?
Well, have we learned something? Yes. I mean, there's a lot of data. There's a lot of process. It's a lot to learn. But has it resulted in any change in 5 years? Not really. And I think it really comes down to what people have been talking about. It's just their personal way that they approach, you know, their daily life. And do we wash our hands after getting groceries? No. You know, you can say what Linda said about the loo. It goes right across the population. But I like to think we have some data. We have some experiences. We've learned about, you know, this virus. I mean, I got my virus shot. I got a couple boosters, but there were so many. They just keep coming and coming and coming. And did I keep up on top of it? No, I didn't, right? I'm very fortunate. There was a day where both my partner and I got COVID. I only found out I got COVID simply because I had the test. I waited the amount of time, but I let it go a little longer. And sure enough, that little line came across. So I did. But my partner had it much more seriously than I did. And, you know, one thing she deals with right now is she's got a chronic cough. And there's a lot of people that have that. But in terms of her hybrid relationship where she works, she's having to go into an environment and, you know, thinking, well, if I'm coughing, what are people thinking, right? And yeah. And there's nothing contagious about it at all. It's just something that she contracted through a bacterial infection a long time ago. It just hasn't gone away. There's a lot to learn. I don't think we have really unpacked it yet. And we're creatures of habit. I mean, it's not easy for us to change, or certainly put it another way. We don't choose to change our habits and our way to daily life. And we have to look out for people who, you know, come into contact with us and things we had. I mean, had a family member, like I said, who a couple of months ago got COVID, but she was helping an elderly family member transition from a house in the hospital into long-term care. So she was in some environments where potentially she contracted it, right? But she did the right thing. She stayed home the required amount of time, but it's out there and we can't avoid it. But we need to do what we can to, you know, help people in terms of, you know, doing what we can to try and make sure that we don't contract it and pass it on. A lot to learn.
And you'd think after 5 years, maybe we would have. Some, I think, have remembered those lessons better than others. But John, what do you think we've learned 5 years since COVID was declared a global pandemic?
Well, like any change, Mike, I think there's always a resistance to change. People don't like change. And so changing personal habits is probably among the worst things trying to change. But I do believe that there is a slow change, or has been, and it'll continue. People become a little more cognizant of how they can get sick. And I mean, I'm over 80, so I'm extremely careful. I mean, I had cancer as well. So I, you know, you, unfortunately, you wait until it's too late. I have all my booster shots, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who don't believe in it, and so they don't get them. And, you know, so they feel that it's, you know, one of those things where, well, I'm not sick. They don't think that maybe they're carrying the virus and spreading it to others. But I do honestly think that since COVID, there has been a change. I think people on the street, I hear generally speaking more, mentioning COVID more than before. I think it's going to take a long time before we suddenly start realizing that, yes, you have to wash your hands before you eat. Yes, after getting groceries, definitely after you use the washroom. So it's taking time, but I believe it is a slow process. It is happening.
John Hendry, professional speaker, author, and retired public school board trustee. Linda Ockwell Jenner, the president of motivationalsteps.com. And Steve Bentley, managing principal at Northern River Financial. Always good to see you all. Appreciate the time that you've given us on the show. Thanks for being with our Friday Four today, and enjoy the weekend ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
We have an hour of open line radio coming up with Free Phones Friday here on the Mike Farwell Show. Stay with us, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Week when Nathan called and said we should have Irish music for all request Fridays because we're heading into the St. Paddy's Day weekend. And I said, well, I mean, how much Irish music can there possibly be? You got U2, and then you got U2. Of course, the Cranberries, who we heard earlier today. And this, by request from Terry, is a song called Jailbreak by Thin Lizzy, which I didn't know until I Googled Irish music, that Thin Lizzy is also an Irish rock band. Who knew? But we do now on this All Request Friday here on the show. More of your requests to play and your phone calls to take. You just heard us discuss with the Friday 4 Roundtable the week's big stories. We've got stories developing right today as Mark Carney is sworn in as our 24th Prime Minister. And we're getting ready for a big game at the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium tonight. The next hour belongs to you. Phone lines are open for Free Phones Friday. So if you want to be a part of it, tell us what's going on in your world, because if it matters to you, it matters to us. Reflect on the day's events, whatever it is that you've got on your mind. Get it off your chest and onto the air with Free Phones Friday. Coming up on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio.
Take out the papers and the trash, or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggedy yak.
Don't talk back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust fly with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight, or you don't go out Friday night.
Talkback.
It is your daily talkback hour where we open the phone lines so you get the chance to have your say. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. And remember, phone lines tend to get busy, but you can use all three of those phone lines. If star 570 doesn't work, try the 519-570-2545 number. And if that one's busy, use the 1-800 number, 570-5715. That's the one that's used the least, but you can use it even from your home in the region. The 1-800 number line works. Let's get right to the phones and say good afternoon to Hamed. Good afternoon, Hamed.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Sorry, I'm not sure that anyone discussed this before or not. I have a question about the auto insurance. If someone can clear me about this, that why when I drive before a construction truck or something and some rocks comes out to my windshield, I have to, the insurance doesn't have any problem to pay me, but I have to pay consequences for the next insurance bills or stuff or turn. Why it should be? Why should I pay for insurance?
When you order fresh and reliable groceries from Voilà, you spend less time worrying about shopping.
That, Hamed, that's a great question, and I appreciate you asking it. Insurance is one of those things that frustrates many people. Of that, there is no doubt. I've always wondered why my rates go up when I don't make any claims against it. What I know about construction vehicles or other large traffic on the roads, if they end up cracking your windshield or something like that from a rock thrown up, you can usually get compensation from that particular company if you go through the work of tracking them down, that sort of thing. And I don't know what's involved in it. I've never done it myself, but I've got this on pretty good authority. But I hear you. You make the claim and then your rates just go up, right? Look, insurance is a little bit like a casino. The house never loses. The insurer isn't in the business of paying out more than it brings in by way of premiums. So, unfortunately, that's the way that it goes. Matt, over to you on the Talkback Hour. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I just want to take a quick sec here and talk about the St. Paddy's Day parties and the injunction order that's been put in place by the government.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm a student, not at one of the local schools, but I'm in St. Catharines at Brock. I'm from Waterloo region locally, and so we found out the injunction order was here. A few of my buddies were going to come down, and they were going to sort of go out. But we don't really, our sort of train of thought, I've talked to a bunch of people about this. There's a whole bunch of people I know from sort of all my buddies from home who went to sort of other parts of the province for school. They're all coming home for this weekend and bringing their new buddies back as well. And there's even people at Brock, I've talked to people that are like renting hotel rooms. Like, there's going to be so many people here, and I don't know if they're going to be able to sort of stop the parties and sort of arrest everyone. Like, how is the one of the regional police force going to sort of arrest 20,000 people all on one street? I just don't think it's feasible. Normally, they only give fines to 300-400 people, right? In the past few years, it's only, I don't think it's exceeded 500 people they've been giving sort of tickets to. So I don't know how they see a way to sort of arrest everyone who's going to go to these parties. I think maybe they'll arrest, instead of giving tickets to the people they normally give tickets to, now they arrest those people. But then again, as you guys were talking about on the Friday Four table, how are you going to go in and sort of process all those people through the jails? It's just, that's going to, it's going to be a very busy weekend then for the police service. And then secondly, with you guys were talking about moving the parties and sort of having a sanctioned party. I know Guelph and McMaster, their homecoming, the police services, they'll sort of set up a street. They'll close down a street, and that will be a designated street sort of on campus, actually, where you can go and have a street party. And it's safe to have paramedics. There's police walking around. I know a few of my buddies went this year, and they said it was, like, it was fine. They had a lot of fun, and it was, they said it was pretty safe as well. And then online as well, you're seeing there's people saying they're just going to move the parties to a street off the injunction order, which I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, you're just going to wreak havoc in communities that have never sort of experienced this and have no want to do this. At least the parties sort of that happen on Ezra Street, it's mostly, for the most part, student housing, and they mostly sort of encourage it, and those houses know what to expect. Sort of when you rent, you know this is where the parties are going to be, so let's sort of expect that before St. Paddy's Day. But if people are going to move to off or out of the injunction order, I mean, what are the police going to do then? And I don't think that's a good idea, but let's see how it happens.
All right, Matt, a lot of good points made, and I don't disagree with the idea that it's going to be impossible to arrest as many people as you used to give fines to. It's just, I don't see how that works. What I believe is happening here and will happen here is that people will be, there will be some criminal charges laid, people will be arrested, detained, etc. And I believe that the hope then is that it shows that we're taking this much more seriously. And over time, it's not going to be wiped out this year, but over time, it becomes less and less attractive to be a part of. That's what I believe is the intention behind this, because, Matt, you outline a whole bunch of reasons why this might not work as well as some people think it's going to work. Free Phones Friday, your talk back hour today continues on 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Some Hip and Three Pistols by request on your All Request Friday here on the show. Got a request? Drop an email to Mike at 570news.com, or when you call in during Free Phones Friday, let Jen and DJ Dev on the other side of the glass know what song you'd like to hear. Jake wanted to hear Three Pistols by the Tragically Hip. As we get back to the phones on this Free Phones Friday, Grant, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Mike. I'm going to touch on two things. This number is for Mr. Afif. It's a therapy place that I've dealt with, and they're pretty good. And 226.
Well, what's the name? How about the name of the place? That'll be easier than trying to remember a phone number.
Fancy Therapy, and they're
Fancy
Therapy.
Can you spell the, is it fancy, like F-A-N-C-Y, fancy?
Correct, yes.
Okay, Fancy Therapy. Thank you for that, Grant, because Afif called yesterday, said he was dealing with some anxiety, wondered where he might be able to go for help. Grant says Fancy Therapy. Thanks for that.
And they're very good because majority of these places, you only allow 12 in a year. This one, it's pretty flexible. And okay, they also have, if you're on a fixed income, then they have students that can do it for a lower price.
Okay. And, yeah, and the other thing you want to touch on today?
Yeah, the Steelheads allegations of the...
Ugh. Yes.
Harassment? What's going on with that?
Well, I don't know any more than what's been reported so far, but this is a case involving the then Mississauga Steelheads in the Ontario Hockey League, and it dates back to 2014, if I have my dates correct. I'm just going off the top of my head here, but anyway, it's an historical allegation of a gang sexual assault. So that's all I know that's been reported so far. Where it goes from here, and any charges that are perhaps ultimately laid and what happens, we'll have to wait and see. But it is another really unfortunate incident surrounding junior hockey, which has had a whole lot of such incidents. Mayor Jake, he just got his song request and he's on Free Phones Friday with us. Good afternoon, Mayor Jake.
Nothing more Canadian than the tragically hip, I'll tell you that much.
I love it, Mr. Mayor. I love it.
Sad news out of Richmond Hill. Cosmos Music is closing down. When I was 16 years old, I bought my first guitar at that store. I get a little emotional thinking about it because of the years I've been playing and been able to teach music and have the privilege. I also worked at Law McQuaid for a long time. But I hate to see music stores closed, and I wish the culture would shift more to learning and playing instruments instead of doing it digitally online. It breaks my heart to see it. I see that there's Law McQuaid going to be replacing it, but I want to encourage people to get out, stop buying from Amazon for guitar strings and instruments. Get out there, go to the music stores, and buy from the locals.
I love it, Mayor Jake. I appreciate that. You can have a shop local effort or policy as part of your campaign. I've always wanted to learn a musical instrument. I spent some time and tried to learn guitar a couple of years back, and I just didn't commit the time. It's my own fault. I never have enough time. But I wish I had, because over at Black Rabbit Guitars, I was getting some great guidance from my teacher there, making progress, and then just gave it up. And it's my own fault. And I'm with Mayor Jake. Get out there, support local. You'd be amazed at what you'll learn just talking to the people in those music stores, because they know their stuff so much. And expand your mind, broaden your horizons by learning that instrument, whichever instrument it happens to be. Great idea. Kyle, Free Phones Friday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. The word of the day is democratic. I got a question for you on it. So we're going through an election. Well, I guess right now our prime minister just got sworn in. And it kind of ties back to what you were saying earlier with, I guess it was last week, I believe it was, with the whole municipality. I think it was in Wilmot, or when we had our provincial election, that Rob Deutschman left and they brought somebody in.
Okay, you're mixing a ton of metaphors here, my friend. Regional council, yes. Deutschman resigned, and they appointed a new member. It had nothing to do with Wilmot.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Is that not the same thing that was going on federally, that the Liberals just appointed a new member without Canadians voting for it?
I guess you could argue that it's similar, sure.
Is that not both democratic then? There's no democratic.
No, it's undemocratic in my opinion.
Both of them, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how would we change that? I want to get your idea, right?
Listen,
because I was curious about it, right? How do you change something like that?
I laugh so I won't cry. Listen, because it's well within the limits or the powers of our system. The Constitution allows for what just happened federally. So are we gonna? I don't know. I really don't have an easy answer for that. Legislatively, I think we need to change things at the local level. We need to change the Elections Act so that the appointment can't happen. And I don't know what that looks like federally, because it's way beyond my pay grade. But
maybe just an idea before I go. Maybe federally, if somebody resigns, you go into it's automatically a snap election right away. I don't think there should be a change. Like, if they have to change a leader, then you do it during the election. But I don't think that we should be waiting, have somebody come in, and then they call an election. I think if Justin Trudeau resigned, it should have been a snap election right now, and you look for a new leader immediately. I don't think there should have been a waiting period. But that's just my opinion out there, Mike. Have a great time at the game, and go Rangers, my friend.
Thanks, Kyle. You know, that's not a bad idea, right? You have the leader that resigns because he doesn't have the confidence of the party. You go into an election as you're trying to work in a new leader. That seems reasonable to me. It's the way it goes, right? Because, yes, and listen, I'm glad we're going to an election soon, even as Mark Carney was sworn in today, because we, as Canadians, deserve the right to vote for the government, not have it appointed to us. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Sent me an email earlier today, and she said, you know, Mike, there's a stairway to heaven, but a highway to hell. How about some AC/DC for your All Request Friday? Your request is our command, Suzanne. We are on a highway to hell. See, here's the thing. It's a highway to hell because being bad is easy. It's a stairway to heaven because you got to work hard at being good. And let me tell you, it's hard to be good. Free Phones Friday, where we take your calls during the last hour of our show, continues. Tom, good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You know the saying, it's better to have a known enemy than a pretended friend?
Yes.
Yeah, this is what's happening.
This was happening with the United States?
Yeah.
But now we know the enemy, right?
Yeah, you know, and then this is the ultimate plan. I mean, what's happening, you know, everybody was laughing when the tariffs came in. No, this is really serious. We have no allies, nobody. France is doing more business with Iran than nobody, England or France, stood up for Canada, and they're not going to do it. So I'm just saying, the first thing, this is a long-term coming. And, you know, when they say that the Pentagon has plans for every country in the world to take it over, well, this is what's happening here. We haven't seen. This is not even the beginning. We have to prepare, get rid of the 5 million immigrants and the 100,000 Ukrainians. We can't afford them anymore.
Well, what are you going to do, send them back?
Well, yeah, their visas expire.
Okay, well, there you go. So we're going to be taken over, but let's get rid of some of the people that might be able to take up arms and defend us. I don't know. But there's Tom's take on it, a rather dire prediction that this is just the beginning and the United States indeed does intend to take us over. I'm not quite sure why that means we have to get rid of immigrants, but nonetheless, these are the times in which we exist. An update from the 570 News Center, and then more of your calls on Free Phones Friday. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. What an excellent selection on our All Request Friday today. Some Dragging the Line by Tommy James and the Shondells. Fridays also mean free phones, not that we're giving you a phone for free. I wish I could, but they'd take it out of my paycheck and I don't make that much. However, open phone lines so we can hear from you. Our talk back hour on Friday is Free Phones Friday, 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Dave, you're next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. I'd like to offer congratulations to the now former Prime Minister of Canada. Now, after effectively implementing the COVID vaccines, he then immediately started tackling the federal deficit and immediately started attacking and reducing the federal debt. And I think we are all appreciative. Have a great day, Mike, and have a great call tonight.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. Looking forward to the call tonight of the Kitchener Rangers and North Bay Battalion, the LeBlanc brothers, paying their final visit back to the Memorial Auditorium, playing the Rangers, the team that drafted them four teams ago. And I don't know about tackling the deficit. Did he? Or did he tack on to the deficit? If you missed it yesterday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had some parting words for you as a Canadian.
I am so proud of Canadians. I'm proud to have served a country full of people who stand up for what's right, rise to every occasion, and always have each other's backs when it matters most. This may be my last day here in this office, but I will always be boldly and unapologetically Canadian. My only ask is that no matter what the world throws at us, you always be the same.
Boldly and unapologetically Canadian. The resignation was official earlier today, and Mark Carney has been sworn in as our 24th Prime Minister. Tracy sends an email to Mike at 570news.com. She says, I totally agree with Kyle, who called earlier about this. I don't agree with someone being appointed and ending up Prime Minister without an election, especially for someone that doesn't even hold a seat in Parliament. We, as the people of Canada, no matter our political stripe, did not vote Carney in, and to me, that is not right. As Kyle said, that election should have happened the moment Justin resigned. It's not a bad idea. I hadn't thought of it that way. Again, I'll say the good news is we anticipate the election very soon, because I don't think it's right that somebody who has never held office holds the top political job in the country for any meaningful length of time. So let's get on with a federal election. Back to the phones. Afif, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. Good thing. You know, yesterday you told me that you told us, like, oh, hey, there's speed ends before, like 10 minutes before.
We've been talking a lot this week about signs on our streets. There are many signs that say maximum speed limit ends about 10 or 15 meters from a corner or a stop sign. Yes, and it's infuriating.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of taking a picture of every single one of those and sending it to you.
But, no, thank you. Don't send it to me. No, do not send it to me. Send it to the damn mayor. Do not send it to me. Afif, do not send it to me.
All right.
Okay, thank you. I don't want it, but you can send it to the mayor, because these are the dumbest, like, honest to goodness gracious. And as we explained, once this came up as an issue on the show, apparently it's provincial legislation that mandates it. Ignore the legislation. I kid you not. There will not be a penalty for that, at least not one that's meaningful, in my opinion. Stop it and then save the money on the signs. Or the other side of that is start a sign business, because there's good money in signs here in the region these days. Jason, you're on the Talkback Hour. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mike, this is a good segue into me, I guess, but leave the signs alone. Leave the mayor alone, okay?
No, no, I will not, Jason.
You know, with all the what's happening in the world right now, a couple years ago, I believe you and a number of other of your callers, we're all losing your mind when we were talking about putting money into the bunker. I think we need to bring that bunker back up to serviceable levels at this point in time. So I'll be the first to go in there and hang out and see what happens in 20 years after I come out of the bunker. But I'm kidding. But, I think maybe we might need to look at the bunker idea again and making it so people could actually be in there.
I hear where you're coming from, Jay. Appreciate the call.
Have a great weekend, Mike.
You too. Good to hear from you as always. Jason is asking us to leave the mayor alone because Jason sits on Kitchener City Council. I'm going to say two things. One is send your pictures to the damn mayor. I'm not joking. Whatever city you live in, you want to take that picture of the stupid sign, send it directly to the mayor's office. I'm not joking about that. The other thing is, what Jason gets me thinking about, I like where he's coming from, and I know he's being tongue-in-cheek with the bunker. And yes, we did spend $750,000 on who knows exactly what, making sure it doesn't cave in, I suppose. But here's the thing. If we're going to make the investment and make it inhabitable again, as Jason suggests, I want to know this. Who gets to go in? There's only room for like 45 people. Which 45 people get to go into the bunker for the next 20 years, huh? Huh? These are the questions I want answers to. It's Free Phones Friday on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV.
Could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. Could have been a 3 or 4 or 6 packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in. My head is like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, me, oh, me, oh, my. Wasn't that a party?
Oh, the Irish Rovers as we head into the St. Paddy's Day weekend by request from Corey on your All Request Friday here on the show. That ties in very well to this email from Clive to Mike at 570news.com. So, university students want to party illegally and end up with a criminal record that could destroy their lives? Many countries will not allow you to cross their borders with a criminal record. You do not want to be the person that the regional police use to set an example. Enjoy the fine restaurants and pubs in town and stay off the streets. I hear you, Clive. I just don't think those who intend to party this weekend, and I'm sure there are thousands of them, care one tinker's darn or one rat's patootie about the future consequences of any behavior they engage in this weekend. We shall see. Maybe all the rain they're forecasting will be exactly what we needed. Or maybe if the rain works this weekend, we should remember the water cannons for next year. Am I allowed to say that? I just said that. Free Phones Friday continues here on the show. Back to the phones. Brant, good afternoon.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you for what?
Well, as Brian Burke used to say, someday you will mature and understand.
Are you telling me that I have matured and I now understand?
A lot more than you did back when he was on with you. In my view.
Well, maybe I just need to get rid of the dead weight, eh, Brent?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I do. And I hope my beloved is listening because you just said I'm mature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Why do you say this?
Well, because there wasn't one complaint or even a comment about the time change this year.
You know why?
No.
Because I was too tired to complain about it.
Oh, well, I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you what. Since you brought it up, it's the dumbest thing we do, and we really need to stop.
Well, actually, that's where you and I still disagree. But
so, well, you're immature then.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, okay.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, okay.
Okay.
But anyways.
Why do you want to do the time change? It's ridiculous.
Well, I worked outside in construction all my life, so it's a lot better starting early in the morning with the sun up. The more sunshine there is, and
well, then just leave it on standard time.
Well, then it actually it's worked for a lot of years. So, anyways,
it doesn't work at all.
I think now, having said that,
yes,
I think if I remember right, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember one time when it was always a complaint that you mentioned that. Why don't we do the time change the weekend when the following week the kids have it off school?
I don't think I ever argued that one, but anyway.
Well, that's what happened this year, eh?
Well, all I want is us just to stay on standard time. I don't know why we monkey with it. Just leave it alone.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Each to her own. Anyways, I still congratulate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Congratulations to you, too.
Okay, thank you.
Enjoy your day.
Have a good weekend.
You, too. Bye-bye. Listen, it was Al that's been giving me the gears all week for getting stuff stuck in my craw, right? I had the appointment of a new regional counselor stuck in my craw, You know, Al was all about saving the $800,000. I got signs stuck in my craw now because I think they're stupid. We should amalgamate into one municipal government in this community because eight different governments and two tiers. It's ridiculous. 59 elected councillors. Come on with your coming on. Like, if I could get one of these things in my life, just one, I might complain less. The signs are stupid. The absence of a by-election is undemocratic, and changing the clocks twice a year is unnecessary. Just put it on standard time. Leave it the hell alone. Sean, can I get an amen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, Mike, I'm going to suggest to you...
Take a deep breath.
I'm going to suggest to you that you learn about Zen Buddhism. You know,
no, I don't want to. You can't make me.
You need to learn to find your inner core.
Yeah.
You'll live longer.
I can't find my core. My fat stomach's over it.
Yeah, but in that case, you could look like a Buddha.
I could look like a Buddha. I'm bald and I'm tubby.
That's right.
Okay.
But now what I'm going to suggest is, now you're talking about the hoses for the March 17th people.
Yeah, bring out the water cannons, baby.
But what I'm thinking is, they say into every life a little rain must fall, right?
Yes.
So why don't, instead of doing the water cannons, why don't we just make it miserable and set the fire hoses on that wide dispersal pattern they use when they're wetting down after the fire?
Fair enough.
Let a gentle rainfall on
okay.
them. Just soak them.
I can get behind this.
Yeah, it wouldn't physically harm them. It would just make them miserable.
And if I can make somebody miserable, I've done my job for the day. It's Free Phones Friday. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Little bit of Green Day and American Idiot by request from Andre on this All Request Friday. I wonder who Andre has in mind when he requests the song American Idiot from Green Day. I'm stumped. I have no idea who he could possibly be thinking of. Back to the phones. Free Phones Friday. Rudy, good afternoon.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? It's a beautiful day out.
Sure is. How are you doing? I'm doing well now.
I'm driving home from work.
Already so going home?
Really early.
Attaboy.
Yeah. So I agree with you about the time change. That time change for a week after, it's hard on me. And I got about 10 years on you.
So you're telling me it's going to get worse, Rudy?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Just great.
It is. But about this injunction thing. I think it goes a little far because I was watching the kitchen news last night, and they're saying that if they're partying in a house and the people can hear it on the street and they complain, they can charge the people in the house. I mean, it is still a party day, kind of. I agree with that. They don't need to be all over the street, for sure. And to just go to a licensed establishment, that's kind of expensive nowadays.
Yeah, fair enough, Rudy. I mean, it always was more expensive than, you know, drinking or partying at home. But I don't know. We have rules for a reason, I think. But I hear where you're coming from. Andre, good afternoon.
Game day, baby.
Andre, game day, baby.
I know. I'm just giving you a little bit of volume one before you get to the game. Man, it can get loud in there, eh? So about fixes in, I'm assuming that Tanner Lamb is going to do 2 points tonight.
You're already making predictions, eh?
Always.
Okay. 2 points for your buddy Tanner Lamb. I got you.
Okay. And then about the American Idiot, I think it's Paul Fixie. He was over there, and he came back here realizing that, no, I'm Canadian.
You think that's why he came back? Well, listen, the chance to coach in your hometown is a pretty good reason to come back, too. A couple of Stanley Cups for Paul Fixter with the Colorado Avalanche back in the day. Paul Fixter will join me in the broadcast booth tonight at the Memorial Auditorium. Everywhere I go, he goes. He's like a shadow, and he's the best. And we're going to broadcast the game tonight in Kitchener and tomorrow in Owen Sound. And the Fix is in will be a part of our pregame show, which gets underway at 6:30 tonight. Stay with us for the game versus North Bay and right through the night into Rangers Talk, where we take your calls after the game, talk about the game, talk about junior hockey. Lots of fun. This is your home for Ranger hockey. We'll have you covered from pillar to post, 6:30 through 11 tonight. Jen Tan and Devin Robertson are folks on the other side of the glass. It's time for the weekend. My name is Mike Farwell. Bye for now.